What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode, what is it? We're at 371 here.
371.
We took a week
off.
You messed me up.
You didn't say what's up? What is up, guys? You just said what's going on or something. You really threw me off.
Oh, did I? Well, yeah. It's a new week. We took a week off, and I'm a changed man. You know, I got my glasses. I got my glasses back on and everything. So,
All right.
We are, So, took a week off. I had a crazy week last week, and I'm going to take next week off.
Man, the and then we had I was gone for a while.
Yeah, you went on a little.
Don't forget about us.
Yeah, you went on a little vacation. So, and I think next week will be a vacation. So I'm flying my sister and my niece out here. It's the first time in California, so it'll be fun for them.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's like a little mini vacation. We're doing a lot of things that I haven't done yet in San Diego.
That's cool. Yeah, you're not just like hitting up the same places you've been to.
Yeah. So we'll be doing some other stuff, which will be a lot of fun. So, but yeah, it feels good to be back. I was like, oh man, I'm like excited to get the podcast going. Haven't talked to anybody. Our regulars, we haven't talked to our regulars in the live chat or anything like that. But lots going on. Some crazy big news stories this week. Some awesome reviews. You took a look at a really cool product, and I did as well. So I guess we should just jump right into that. We have Corey in the chat. What's going on, Corey? How's Pittsburgh? Really humid. Ryan, you were talking about how humid it was.
God. Was that yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. I went out to lunch and was walking like from my building to our car parking garage, and it was 77 degrees and 90% humidity. It was just disgusting out. And I went swimming last night, like after work, like in the evening. It was like 7:30 or something when we went, and it was still just like not enjoyable.
Yeah, we have Tall Tush calling us losers in the chat as well. So I actually have the door behind me open because it's getting to the point. There's like 3 months, 2 months here in San Diego where it just gets so hot. If I'm doing the podcast, I will last time we did the podcast, I had the door closed and I could feel like the sweat. I'm just like sweating sitting here. So it's definitely summertime. I don't miss the humidity from back home though. So it hasn't been crazy bad here, but it's definitely hot enough where I have to have the AC running and I have to have that door open. So but let's jump into our reviews. You took a look at a really cool AIO, and I'm kind of jealous of this one because this would look just awesome in my system. Since my system is all RGB, and my system is like sort of Li and Li themed with the fans and the case and everything. So but yeah, you took a look at, what's it called? The Galahad?
Galahad, yeah.
Yep. Galahad 2 Trinity SL. Such a long name.
That's such a long name. I was like, get ready for this. Yeah, the Li and Li Galahad 2 Trinity SL INF. All-in-one liquid cooler. As the name kind of implies, I missed the 360 in the title. So this one is the 360 millimeter all-in-one cooler. So it's got a 360 millimeter radiator, 320 millimeter fans, and those are Li and Li's SL or their INF, you know, fans. Yeah. I think those are the same ones that you've got in your build, right?
No, I don't have the Infinity version. I have the originals.
Okay, you have the originals. I couldn't remember what you had in yours, but this has the Infinity fans. Some really, you know, cool customizations to the cooler itself that we'll take a look at here in just a second. But again, it's just another, you know, all-in-one cooler added to the list of coolers, and it performs really well. It's the first Li and Li cooler that I've ever taken a look at.
So that's why I wanted to ask you, because I guess I have had Li and Li cases way in the past, but like current gen Li and Li stuff, I was really impressed with this case. How did you feel about like the quality? And I'm sure you're going to get into it, but like, how do you feel about the quality, ease of use, and you know, everything when it comes to like a Li and Li AIO compared to the ones that you reviewed lately?
Yeah, no, quality was good. I didn't have any issues or like complaints about fit and finish or anything like that. I'll bring up some of those items when I talk about them.
For sure.
So, you know, it's your pretty standard packaging and accessories kit, right? They're going to have mounting hardware for all your current gen CPUs and sockets and boards, everything you need there. So, and it also includes a controller. Their ElConnect 3 software utilizes this controller in order to, you know, change your lighting and fan speed and monitor things. And I'll get to that in a little bit because there's really some improvements that they could, I think, implement with their instructions that would make installation a lot easier. Now, like I said, 360 millimeter cooler, and it's available in black and white in both, you know, the 360 millimeter size and the 240 size. So you've got a couple size options depending on, you know, your build layout. If you've got room for a 360, shove one of those in. If not, they've got the other smaller size as well in both black and white. And, you know, everything on this is white outside of a couple places. There's some black plastic under the white housing on the pump itself, but you really can't see it. All of our fins are white on this. Good fin density here. I believe it is 20 fins per inch. And the fans that come with this, those INF, the SLINF fans, have a nice static pressure. And that's going to really help get airflow through the fin density on this radiator to get that heat away from the radiator and exhausted out your case, which I really like. Nice little Lianli stamped logo on the side of the radiator as well. Really cool feature that I like is the swivel 45 degree angle fittings on the end of the radiator. So each of these fittings comes off at a 45 degree angle. You can obviously see that here, but they also rotate 360 degrees. So that makes it installation a lot easier. You know, you've messed with AIOs before. You've got obviously have one in your case. Sometimes it's, you know, depending on the tubing size and the loom they use and the material it's made out of, those can actually become a little bit stiff. Being able to rotate these during installation makes installation much easier, especially when they're paired up with like swivel fittings on the pump housing, right? So you've got all these movable parts that make installation easier. And then once you've got it installed, you can kind of move them around as well to get the tubing placed in an area you would like. You know, sometimes you might need to adjust it and keep it in its spot so it's not covering up your RAM so you can see your RAM, or you've got some clearances you need to adjust for. This allows you to do that, which is pretty nice. I really liked the beveled polished finish here on this. It's just that extra nice touch, right? You're kind of asking about quality and fit and finish. That's just a really nice feature, in my opinion, as opposed to just some of the more generic shrink wrap, heat shrink fittings that we've seen in the past on some other units. So very cool there. Pump housing is really nice. And this is my favorite layout of it. I'll get to that in a second, but it has a nice metal aluminum top here that you can actually twist off and remove. And by default, we have this mirrored look here, you know, that infinity look that's not unique to Lianli by any means, but they're, you know, a company that's utilizing it. And it looks really cool by default. Again, nice polished edges here. And just another look at it here. We've got some, you know, polished edge and a textured aluminum on the side. Here's what it looks like top down, just your standard circular pump housing here. No screen or anything like that in there to display anything, but it still looks nice. Now, like I said, that thing can come off. You just pop it off, twist and pop it off, and then you can replace it with a translucent plastic ring as well. So if you want more glow to your build, this modification to that pump housing will allow you to get more glow from the LEDs underneath there to, you know, shine inside your case. And then in the center, you've got a couple options. You can pair that up with a another mirror in the center, or you could go with just more translucent plastic to get more glow overall. Underneath there, there's a PCB with two rings of LEDs, and those are adjustable, you know, individually, separately from each other. So if you wanted to have a solid color in the center and rainbow going on the outside, you can do that. You can customize that to your liking in Lianli's software. So I thought that was nice. Not that it's like a new feature by any means, but just nice to see there. And that's plenty of LEDs inside there as well to make that lighting transition smooth. Kind of like we see on sticks of memory that have LEDs, right? The more LEDs you have, the smoother you can make those color transitions and the nicer it looks overall. So good LED density there. Like I mentioned, we have swivel fittings on the end of the pump housing. And that's where some of that black plastic is showing in the build, but really you're not going to see it very much at all, to be honest. A nice finish on the bottom of the copper cold plate. It's just kind of a matte finish, but no machining lines. You know, I've taken a look at some coolers previously that have just some scuffs and scratches on them, maybe some machining. This one is nice and smooth.
Definitely.
I love that look. Yeah, yeah. It was a really nice finish there. Just kind of that satin finish. Now, one thing that, as far as installation goes, my first issue with this is, it obviously doesn't come with any thermal paste applied to it, right? I'm fine with that. If they want to include a tube of thermal paste, which they do, you can, you know, typically apply that to your CPU heat spreader and then put this cooler on top and let pressure spread that out. Lee has a little plastic template sticker that you can place on the bottom of the copper block here, and then you squirt the paste onto the surface itself and spread it with this little plastic spreader that comes with it. So you end up with kind of like that pre-applied look. So this is what you end up with before you peel the sticker off. And my issue with this is, like, this was so much more work to get thermal paste onto a cooler. I'm so used to either the block has it on there already and you just stick it on, or you put your thermal paste down on the CPU. And
do you think, though, for a beginner, this might be good? You know, because there, you do run into issues where you don't apply enough or apply too much, or it's not evenly spread, where this does give you that sort of, if you want to go to the picture that shows it, when you're done, it gives you that even spread that you would get if it was pre-applied, right?
Right.
Like, yes, gives you that spread.
Pattern wise, yes, but you could still, like, try to spread it too thin, because that sticker that goes on there isn't very thick, right? So true. You could either cake it on or not put enough on. So there's still some wiggle room there for that. This is just kind of that pattern that it gets you, and it centers it in the water block as well. So it was just like some extra steps involved. I get what they're trying to do. It just, to me, was an extra step that wasn't 100% necessary for the installation. Gotcha. It does come with, like I said, the Uni Fan, the SL Infinities. And the cool thing about this, I say cool, it's handy because you don't have to put them on, is all of these fans come connected to the radiator from the factory. So they are in a push configuration, right? So they're going to take air in from the front. They're
already on. Yep,
they're already installed, which in most cases, that's like how I set all mine up. That's how I do all my testing. However, some people may want to put them in a pull configuration or orient them in a different, you know, manner. So they would have to take them off and reposition them. This just takes some of the work out of it. The nice thing also about these is they're obviously the fans that have the interconnecting connections between each one. So you don't have to run power and lighting cables for each fan. They all daisy chain together. They lock together. I didn't go into that, closely on this. You could write a whole review about these fans, to be honest. But it makes installation super easy, because on the end of the fans, you only have one that ends up having a connection out to the controller to control them. So just a really cool configuration, and one less thing you've got to do. Some people are, sometimes intimidated by screwing fans into the radiator and thinking they're going to, like, puncture something on there, or, they think the screw's going to go down too far.
It's a time. It's a time thing too. I mean, you're like, four screws for each fan, and
So and the fans, obviously, they've got rubber pads on each corner, reduces vibration and any noise that you're going to get possibly coming out of here. Pre-installed fans. The installation of the AMD hardware is super easy. It comes with an Intel bracket on there, but it just slides off to the side and just uses pressure to keep it on there. You're not going to have to put any screws into the housing in order to secure the mounting hardware. I've seen other companies use this style of fitting before. It works just fine. It does have thumb screws, but I preferred to use the screwdriver on these just because that thumb screw head and their positioning was a little tighter than, like, for example, Cooler Master's utilization of thumb screws on here. But it was super easy to install. No issues there. That being said, so the instructions and... Do I have them with me? That's all right. There's a wiring diagram for wiring up the fans and the cooler. and the controller that comes with it, and they are not clear by any means. So it turns out you can configure this cooler to utilize either the controller that comes with the cooler, and you hook that up to your computer via you know, a SATA power and a USB 2.0 header on your motherboard, and then the Lianlee software allows you to control everything. So you can hook it up that way, or you can utilize just a standalone controller or your motherboard, whatever the case may be. Their wiring diagram makes it look like you have to have all of that connected at once. There's no like, here's option one, here's option two, you know, here's the thing. And what's even more confusing about it is on the pump housing, you have a few expansion ports here, which thankfully on their website, because their site went live for this cooler today, they've got a diagram or a picture showing, hey, here's what you can do. But none of that is in their information that was provided along with the cooler to say, oh, hey, this port here, you can actually hook a essentially a Y up to connect additional fans or lighting devices to this cooler. And then you use the connection of the cooler to that controller in order to control all those devices. Right. So there's just some confusion there that added a lot of like stress to this install. Usually these things go in pretty easy. And I reached out to you. I was like, dude, what is going on with this thing?
Especially when you're like building it and you're like, wait, there's this open connection that I'm not using. I must have messed something up.
And you know, like I said, the instructions weren't clear. Like they're like, here's your wiring diagram. And it's one picture and it shows like it looked like I was going to have to use. And I listed it out here. It was, what was it? Two SATA power, two PWM connections, two USB 2.0, and two ARGB on top of the pair of cables coming from the fans that go into the controller as well. So it was like, there's no way that this is what it requires. So I had all of it hooked up at first, and then some things weren't doing what I thought they were, and so I unplugged them. Turns out you can just utilize, you know, a single set of cables. It's a lot simpler of an install than they make it look. So that was my major grief with this cooler, to be honest. It was just more work than it needed to be to figure that out. So some clarification in the instructions could go a long way. Either way, as far as performance goes, idling had a great idle temps, almost one of our coolest AIOs when idling, and nearly the coolest under load, 36 degrees. The only one cooler than that is that Deepcool LS720, which was just an amazing cooler, but this one's only 2 degrees above it at 36. But that's tied, you know, is in second place for the best performing under load. All that's awesome. We have reviewed out of the, you know, 15 or so that we've taken a look at in this testing environment. So yeah, great performing. Like I said, it was the first Lianlee cooler I've taken a look at, so I didn't really know what to expect with it, and was pleasantly surprised. I really like their L-Connect 3 software as well. So, like I mentioned, you've got to hook this thing up to a USB 2.0 header on your motherboard, which is kind of similar to, like, you know, a Corsair cooler with some of the advanced lighting and screens and things like that. But L-Connect 3 kind of gives you that dashboard of, hey, you can monitor your CPU and your RAM, GPU, things like that, monitor their temperatures and other system stats. You can also obviously adjust your fan and pump speeds. You can set different profiles. You can set their RPMs, different thresholds to do certain things. And that controller has four different ports. So you can set different configurations for each port on that controller. So there's just a ton of options in there. You can do some quick sync with your lighting so that you can set everything to the same configuration, or you can just do like a motherboard lighting sync and utilize your motherboard's lighting software in order to make sure that you're synchronized with the lighting zones on your motherboard. Again, you can just adjust the lighting zones and speeds on the pump housing itself, as well as the fans on the controller. And that's on each one of those ports there. So you've got some amazing configuration options with this software. I was really impressed with the options and configurations that you could set up with this thing. And then just some pretty pictures. Those Infinity fans, just, they look pretty sweet. They're pretty awesome.
Sometimes I wonder, like, should I have got the
what they would look like?
Yeah, in my build. Because I have the originals that don't have that side infinity mirror on yeah. them.
No, they look pretty sweet. Yeah. But here's a couple of looks as well with that, you know, that lighting ring here. You get a lot more ambient glow from that translucent ring. But then like that dark mirrored center looks pretty cool. And then, you know, you can also do a full translucent yeah. look here to get a little more glow. I prefer the look that comes with it. I really liked the default metal with the mirror.
I think that silver yeah. with the white is like everybody That's who's nice. Done the O11 dynamic builds, if they were using an AIO, they did the original
yep.
Galahad. And just that silver, and it looks even better now because it has the Infinity Mirror, but the original one just had like some lighting, but it was the silver outside that just looks so good.
Yeah, and the metal looks just so much nicer, in my opinion, than this plastic piece. This plastic makes it look so much, I hate to say it, but cheaper. Less.
It makes it look like quality, a brand right? you've never heard of.
Yes.
AIO. That's what it looks like. Some random exactly. brand like on Amazon or wherever.
Yeah, you got this thing off of Wish. And
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So anyhow, really impressed with the performance on this thing and the configuration options that you get with it. Not only the software and lighting options you've got, but you've got the physical changes as well that you can make to that pump housing to kind of customize it to your liking. Like I said, performance was great. You've got those rotary fittings. This cooler does have an MSRP of $189 or $189.99. So $190, almost $200 for this.
Doesn't seem horrible.
No, especially when you figure in the cost of these fans.
The fans, yeah.
And the controller. Like, a 3-pack of these fans, I should have looked in before we started streaming to see what it is. But I thought it was like $60 or $70 for a 3-pack. So then, excuse me. So you take that cost off of there and like, okay, now you've got like a $100, $120 AIO that you can add your own fans to. So it's really not that bad of a deal, in my opinion. I saw some people in another.
A 3-pack on Amazon currently is $79 for a 3-pack.
Okay, so $80 for them. So you're getting quite a bit.
Definitely. With these fans. And like I said, I think the fit and finish is really good. And I'm pretty sure this version, so there's a couple different Galahad 2 versions that came out today. So yes. This is the Infinity version. There's a couple
This is the Infinity. There's another one that's just like this, except it has the non-Infinity fans. Gotcha. I think they're just more of a RGB fan. And then they have a performance one that has some I think it has a little thicker radiator, or it had thicker fans to get a little more air pressure.
Gotcha.
But I give it a 9 out of 10.
Nice.
Lots of lighting options, good performance to cost ratio. And then just the installation manual just needs a little work to clear it up, make it a little more understandable.
Nice. Well, yeah, I was kind of jealous. I was like, damn, it's a nice cooler, you know? Yeah, I do like my cooler. Mine is the Fantex cooler, AIO. But I was on the fence because I was going to get the original Galahad with the original Infinity fans, but I went with the Fantex.
I thought you had the. That's right. You got the Glacier one.
Yeah, the white Glacier one because it has the little Infinity mirror, and I like that. At least on the Fantex, the pump cover housing thing is like more square than circle. I kind of like that.
Yes. Yep. Definitely.
But yeah. We also have Old Man in the chat. What's going on? Good to see you here. I meant to comment back. He commented on which we're going to talk about next. The new Deep Cool coolers. This is something that we had a chance to preview at CES back in January in Vegas. And they're here now. I took a look at two of them. So this is an update for their new digital line. So we've reviewed extensively their AK series of air coolers. And now they're updating those, putting a little flair on them with digital displays that's going to show your CPU temperature and usage in real time, which for an air cooler is not something you typically see, I would say. It's really not something that you typically see. The first one that I took a look at is the AK620 Digital. That's the largest cooler in the series. So that is going to be dual tower, dual fan. It's like I said, it is the largest one in the series. And if you guys want to check out the video, like I have a video on both of the coolers that I took a look at, if you want to check that out. But you know, we already actually reviewed this already. But if you're not familiar, like I said, dual tower, dual fan, 6 heat pipes. It is a big cooler. So this is going to be on par with like, what are the big coolers out there these days? Like NT, the Noctuas.
The Noctua.
Yeah. So it's going to be on par with those bigger coolers. Now, of course, the new thing they added, especially on this one, is a top cap. And this is where you're going to find that digital display. Which is really, really cool. You can see those 6. Look at all those heat pipes, man. I think it's one of my favorite things about air coolers. It's just like you flip it over, you see all the heat pipes. And this one has a really good finish on it, too. We were talking about finishes. This has a really good finish on it as well. But yeah, this is just a big, big overall cooler. But again, the big change with this is that digital display. So in real time, it's going to show your temperature right here, and then it will show your CPU usage. Now, this is not an LCD screen or anything like that. It's a digital display. So the only thing that necessarily changes is the number. So it's going to fluctuate depending, again, on what you have selected. You can do temperature, you can do usage, you can do both, and it will cycle through them. But the only thing, like, again, it's like a digital display. How would you explain that if it's not?
It's like it's an old school LCD display, right? That like an old alarm clock.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just got the numbers.
Yeah, it's there. Just the numbers. So that's the only variable. And then you have like, so it's got, when you're using the temperature, it's going to light up this little thing that says temp. And when you have usage, it's going to light up this thing that says usage. There is also this like status bar right here. So these little blocks. So say I was running at like 80 C or something like that. This little box would go all the way to the end. Or if my CPU usage was like super high, it would go all the way to the end. So I think it's cool. I think that all the time, like if I'm having issues with this computer, my motherboard has like the OLED display. So if I'm having an issue, I just look over and I'm like, okay, the temperature is really high, or my usage right. is really, really high. Like I can kind of see that. So I think this just adds that nice little thing. So it is useful, but it does look really cool as well. Air cooler.
I'm going to throw this up here. Screens on CPU coolers useless. I don't think that's accurate. Like you said, like if you're, let's say you're in a game and you only have one monitor, right? And you've got your game up and things start running sluggish, or you know, like it seems weird. You just glance over and you can see the temperature of your CPU there, and you see that it's running, like you said, 99 degrees or whatever. You know, you've got an issue without getting out of your game and things like that. It's not totally useless.
And even if, like, say we're doing the podcast and I just, like, my computer is, like, crushing to a halt, I can look over and be like, what's using 99% of my CPU right now? Like, you could, you know, see those things. So I do think it is useful. And like I said, it does look good as well. I think DeepCool, and we've talked about it, Ryan reviewed their AIO. I've reviewed a bunch of their air coolers. They've really done a really good job with design and just making things that look good. Air coolers in general have never, especially larger ones, they don't look great. A lot of companies will just slap an ARGB fan on there and they'll be like, oh, it has some lights, but the overall look of the cooler hasn't been great. I think with the AK series since the beginning, again, the non-digital ones, they've all looked good in my opinion. So I think this is a nice little update to them. You know what I mean?
What I think would be cool is to pair this up with some lighting like you saw on the front of the InWin case that had like the big dot matrix.
Yeah.
You know, like pair that, this little readout with something like that behind there where you could just have like,
well, that's the thing, you know, we always have a next generation, right? And I talked about this in the review, is that these coolers by themselves have been solid, and they came out in 2021. So the overall design of the actual cooler, the heat sinks, the heat pipes, it's all the same, right? So this allows DeepCool to continue this line with essentially not having to design a new cooler, right?
Right.
You know, and again, you know, maybe next year, maybe this upcoming year at CES, we won't see digital, we see the LCD version, right? Or something like that. But yeah, it's like I said, it would be like I like the way they look, and there is an app. So this LCD or digital display does connect to your computer using a USB 2.0 header. So you have to make sure you do have one available, and then the app sort of just like lives on your taskbar. You can kind of see it right here, and there's not much as far as options. You can switch between temperature, utilization, or if you set it to automatic, it just goes between the two. And you can change the temperature display from Celsius to Fahrenheit. That's the only type of options that you do get. But yeah, it's like I said, they look nice. And then they did add some RGB. So the originals didn't have any RGB. You get a little RGB at the bottom and just a little RGB at the top. As far as performance goes on the AK620, which again is the largest one, you can see, again, very good idle temperatures here in the top of our test group. Our first load test, again, in the top. And then our second, like, in the top. The, you know, it's competing with the Noctua NHD15, Cooler Master, Master Air MA624 Stealth, which is their massive cooler. The Scythe Muggin 5, I mean, big, big coolers. So it does a really great job, and I think it does a really good job, and it looks good as well, which is really cool. So I gave this one a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award, because I think if you're looking for a bigger cooler, this is going to be one of the better-looking ones. The big coolers, especially as you get larger, they don't look great. They're just like big hunks of metal, you know? And I think DeepCool has done a really good job of making this look cool inside your system. And again, it's not... It is big. It's going to cover your memory and all of that. But it's not – we reviewed bigger ones, and I have some bigger ones waiting in the wings that are massive compared to this. So it's definitely not the bigger one. But if you didn't want something this big, they have the entire line, which I'll go over. But the smallest cooler in the line here is their AK400. And we reviewed the AK400 WH or white edition. And if you're looking for a white CPU cooler – that thing is awesome as well. But this is very small. So single tower, single fan, 4 heat pipes. Like I said, very, very small. So small that you could do the installation with your motherboard mounted inside your case. It's really, really easy. The installation's easy. But still, like, again, that sleek design. I mean, it's just a sleek overall design in general. Same thing at the top. You get that. Again, the display is the actual, like, top cap is obviously smaller. But I'll show you what it looks like all, you know, lit up. And just like with the original two, pre-applied thermal paste, which Ryan and I talked about this. Go ahead.
Yeah, this one has direct touch heat pipes as well, which I like.
Yeah, so pre-applied thermal paste, which I think is really great for beginners. It just makes things much easier, you know, so... Some people might like it. Some people may hate it, but I think it's good that they do have the pre-applied thermal paste there. And then again, installation, super simple, very, very easy. This one shouldn't take you more than 10 minutes to get installed, really. Super, super, super easy. But real-time display, again, we don't have as large of a heat sink, so display is a bit smaller, but same thing. It's going to show your temperature, you know, and then your usage. And the little DeepCool logo. Still a little bit of RGB as well. So again, one there, one right there. I think it looks good overall. And again, for like a more entry-level cooler, they don't have these displays and things on them. So I think it looks awesome, especially for a smaller cooler. Same thing with the software. And again, you get that RGB. RGB, it's that itself is controlled with your motherboard, so it just has a 3-pin ARGB header. And that is one of the issues you may run into, is that if you're connecting this, you have 3 connections coming off of it. So you have the USB 2.0 header, you have the ARGB header, and then you have your PWM header. So it can be cumbersome, obviously, with 3 cables coming out. And I didn't mention that USB 2.0 header, I had no problem running it around the back of my motherboard tray and then up through to get to bottom. I was worried about that. But no, it's definitely long enough. And we did it in a normal ATX case. I think the only time you may have an issue with something, like if you had like a massive case, like a really, really extended ATX, something like the Fantex NV7, maybe have an issue because that's a massive case, you know, something like that. But overall. Now, as far as the AK-400, performance wasn't as good. Sort of towards the bottom of our pack. It is one of the smallest coolers. And I do think, which I'll get into price, there are coolers that are less expensive that do have better performance. They may not look as good, but you can go and look at the performance. Very quiet, but as far as thermal performance, it's not as good as some of the other coolers that are right around the same price range and the same type of single tower type coolers. But overall, like I said, I still like this one. I gave this one a 9 out of 10 as well. Now, when it comes to pricing, the smaller one is $49.99, and the AK-620, which is the largest one, is going to be $79.99. So I think, again, there are other coolers that are between $30 and $50 that perform better than the AK-400. They're not going to look as good. May not be as easy to install either. You know, so keep that in mind. But then for the AK-620, I think that's a good price. The D15 is I think 100. It might even be 120 now from Noctua, and we get similar performance out of the AK-620 digital. So, and again, if digital is not your thing, Deepcool has the non-digital versions. They have, and again, with these digital ones too, we reviewed the black versions. They're also going to come in white. So if you are looking for white and you want that digital look, they're going to come in white as well. So I really like these. I think they're cool. They were super cool when we saw them at CES. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I remember seeing them in their suite. I like the look, the design look of the smaller one better, because I feel like the screen and the light up logo fills that panel better, right? Yeah. As opposed to just the little same size numbers in the larger units black panel on top. So I feel like the little one looks better. Obviously, if you need extra cooling, you're going to go with the larger one. So like I said, it'd be cool, maybe a revision to add some additional lighting feature or function to that area could look really cool, and then maybe not make it look so, I don't know, off to me.
Yeah, I do think probably, no, maybe not this CES, next CES, we'll see like the full LCD version or something, you know what maybe. I mean? But yeah, I think they were cool. And again, if you're not into the larger one or the smaller one, they also, you know, they have the whole line. So there's also an AK-500 and an AK-500S digital available too. You guys can check all those out. But check out the video. Like I said, we have the videos are in the actual reviews on the website. But if you go to our YouTube channel, we have a video on both of them as well. So, and that shows you like what the digital display actually looks like and all that kind of stuff. So we'll move. Wait, go ahead.
We spent a lot of time on those reviews.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at our lifetime and I was like, all right.
Yeah. You know, I try to go through mine quickly because I do feel like sometimes, and I'll look at it and be like, man, we're at like 40, 50 minutes and we haven't even gotten into the news yet, you know? So, but yeah, we'll move on to Casemont Friday. And this week we have another build in the GGF version of the Li & Li V3000. This one's by J Custom. I really like the color choice with this, with the chrome, the silver. Let me get the overall shot here. Like the chrome, the silver, the purple. It just looks really, really good. And how he's installed this screen right here, which I think is just, you know, because you have so much room in this case. And I always say when I review big cases like this, like if you're not doing some type of water cooling, like this is like dead space, right? Yeah. But this is like just really, really good use of that dead space.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. You end up with a case like this and it just looks odd without something there. Like, why did you choose this case?
Yeah.
For this amount of hardware. But this obviously fills it up nicely.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. And those are the SL Infinity fans, I believe. Let's go back. Yeah, those are the SL Infinities from Li & Li. Which look awesome. But yeah, really, really good bits of power, water cooling in here, which looks great. And you can, it's hard to see, but back here you can see like there's channeling built into the back side of the case here. So that's really cool to see there as well. Individually sleep, power supply stuff, obviously using that Maximus Extreme board, which is just looks amazing. Bits power water block on here, which looks great as well. Yeah, I really, really like it. How do you like this end kind of piece for the
I like it. I mean, EK had that on their all-in-one that I reviewed a while back, right? They had that end cap that kind of masked the fittings. I like the look of this though too. It looks nice.
I really like this the connector.
Cleans up the too. Side. Yeah, I like the power connector for sure.
Yeah, the connector right there. So I think that looks great as well. But yeah, everything just matches really good. I think again, this is one of those big cases where it's kind of hard to. I guess you could mess it up, but it's
sure.
You know, it's just especially with people like Jay Custom. I've followed him for a while. It's so awesome to see them just these super clean like builds, and it just looks so great. And you can see like the thick radiators he's going to have in here as well, which are going to look awesome. So go ahead and check that one out. As I always say, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. If you're looking for it, go on the website, go under articles, Case Mod Friday. It's right there, and you can check everything out, which is really, really cool. So we'll jump into news. We have a lot to cover within the news, but I think the big thing, and it's so weird, and I, you know, going through and
is it big?
No, I think the product's not big. The story surrounding the product, I think, is big. So the 18th, which was 2 days ago, NVIDIA launched their RTX 4060 Ti 16 gig. Does anybody care? I think that's the thing. Does anybody actually care about this graphics card?
I think us press and enthusiasts have made it into more of a deal than like we're the ones that care, and we only care because it's, I don't know, it's like this self-perpetuating like story now.
Like, well, here's the thing is that
if it wasn't such a letdown, like we wouldn't care, or not a letdown, but an odd decision and going through with it and price point, everything about it is just meh.
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, anytime there's a graphics card within a certain, you know, like the GT, whatever, they're not doing reviews of, right? But I mean, every card all the way down the line, even like the GTX 1650, there are reviews sure. of. Yep. NVIDIA didn't do a review program for this card. Also, AIBs were not sending out review samples either. And not just to us, to like really big people, yeah, like Gamers Nexus and other people were talking about it, that there nobody wanted to send them a card to review. And that was kind of, you know, that was before official not specs, but official benchmarks came out. And then NVIDIA put their own benchmarks out, and their benchmarks showed that you're going to get better performance in, I think it was three games and not three by games, much. Yeah. So what I don't understand is, I mean, NVIDIA knew all this data well before this thing was even announced.
Like, so why did
they even announce the card? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
that's what I just. No, and again, in the back of my mind, the only thing that I can think of is they're like, okay, here's the, you know, a first time builder. They just see the 16 gig. That's the one they're going to buy. So, and again, this is a $100 premium, which right. again, hardware wise, doesn't make any sense either. But you know, again, I'm a first-time buyer. I just want the best thing. I know I want the 4060. That's all I've researched. I know I want something in the 4060 Ti class. That's the card that I want, because that's what somebody on YouTube said, right? Like that, you know, that's the thought process of a first-time builder a lot of the times. So they go to Best Buy or they go to wherever, and they see the 4060 Ti's, and the one has the higher, you know, VRAM size. It says it on the box, 16 gigs. So they're going to pick that one up. And because it's more expensive, it's probably better, right?
Well, yeah, it's twice as much.
Yeah.
For only $100 more.
And again, NVIDIA knows the spec. Like, they know the performance. This card had been tested. So, and again, their testers are like, yeah, like there's really not much performance difference at all, you know? And NVIDIA is like, oh, we'll just release it anyways. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
And I doubt it was like that much more work to design this thing, right? To engineer a card with another 8 gigs of memory on it. So it's not like they may have announced it. They could have pulled not a full like 4080 right, debacle that they ran into with, you know, the differences there. They could have like said, oh yeah, it's coming, and then change their mind. Like you could say, you know what, this card doesn't make sense, let's not release it.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah,
I would rather see that than the situation we're in here, like holding yourself to this arbitrary, you know, goalpost that they think they have to release this card now that they've said something about it. I'd rather hear them say, you know what, like we looked at it again and it really doesn't make sense for us to release this card because the use cases just aren't there.
And the thing is that, you know, if there's this small minority of people who are like 8 gigs, or yeah, like what the TI is 8 gigs, 128-bit, you know, it's not enough, right? And if I'm NVIDIA, I'd be like, okay, buy 4070.
Right. Yep. Well, we've got a card for you, and that's the 4070.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's very confusing. The whole segmentation in general, and I've talked about this at length, but I'm not going into it, you know, completely, but having different cards with different VRAM sizes is not, I don't think that's great for consumers. Just put that out there. But yeah, it just makes no sense. And again, we see this whole 40 series is like, and I don't think that like gamers are just like unhappy anymore. You know what I mean? But it just like NVIDIA was, there weren't many times where NVIDIA messed up in the past. We had that, you know, it wasn't actually 4 gigs or whatever that was. Remember that?
GTX 970. Yeah.
Yeah, there was that. And, you know, a couple, but like, it seems like just, it's not just within, like, it's like every 40 series launch, like there's just something that just doesn't make sense. I don't know what it is. And again, I don't think that gamers are necessarily not like they're just grumpy. You know, we typically are grumpy anyways. And, you know, but I mean, there are some good things, like I said, about the 40 series, and I've taken a look at pretty much every card in it. But these decisions don't make a whole lot of sense. And it just looks kind of scummy and bad to try to get $100 more out of somebody when there's no real performance gain. It's a specific use case where there's a performance gain, right? And if you're doing that specific use case, why don't you just jump up to the next card? Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So
yep. Have a better experience anyways.
Yeah. So that's kind of what it is. Like I said, we're obviously not reviewing the card. I think there are some people bought some cards, and if you want to check out the reviews, but again, it's going to be the exact same thing, right? Here's a specific use case where you're loading high-end textures where you need more 8 gigs of VRAM if you're gaming at 1080p type of thing. So that's kind of it is what it is. That's all we'll say about it. So we don't go on a long rant about NVIDIA here. Something that I do think is super cool, but you can't buy it, is that Lenovo has a mini ITX RTX 4060 card, a very small one. Look how cool that looks.
That's about the size of my GTX 970.
Yeah, very, very small, cool card. So this is actually in this little system that you can't... you can buy the system, but you can't buy the card, which is kind of a bummer because I think a lot of people want a small little 4060 like this.
Yeah.
And yeah, Lenovo, like I said, they do make their own graphics cards, but again, they're in their pre-built... systems that look like this, which is, like I said,
Coming with what, like scroll down, a 13th gen i5, a 4060, a terabyte gen 4 drive, and is that 2.5 gig LAN
probably
there, or so? I mean, sounds pretty good.
Yeah, nice little system, and it's definitely small and compact as well. But yeah, it would be cool to see just Lenovo just like offer graphics cards. Just another player. I always like getting more players into that space. That would be really cool. Talking about more players getting into the space, Acer, we talked about it when they initially got into the GPU space with their Intel Arc cards. Now they have a Radeon card. So they put out a Radeon RX 7600, first Radeon GPU from Acer. So this is what it looks like, the Predator card. These are very bad pictures, but yeah, Radeon card. I think 7600 makes sense. It's going to do volume, right? Yep. More than anything. And they don't need to necessarily design like a super high-end card because it's not a high-end, right. You know, one. But it's
probably the sweet point of entry, right? Don't expend too much resource load building out a high-end card. Come in at the mid-level and
very cool to see that. See Acer get more and more into the space. I think it's a good thing for them. And again, gives gamers and consumers another choice when they're looking at graphics cards. Talking about Intel Arc stuff, the Arc 750 Challenger 8 gig from ASRock is now down to just $179 if you wanted to pick it up, which I think is pretty awesome $179.
When's the last time you saw a sub $200 graphics card?
It has the same amount of VRAM as the RTX 4060 Ti, the 8 gig version, and the RTX 4060. So $179. Like I said, if you were just like wanted to maybe test that at like, you know, say like, oh, what's this Intel Arc stuff about? I mean, this is a very good entry point. Definitely check that out if that's something that you may be into. Also talking about AMD, every time there's a new big game or something, there's always the bundles used to be really, really good. I'd say they're not as good anymore, but if you buy a new graphics card, and especially with AMD, if you buy a CPU as well, you get a game, right? So AMD has teamed up with Starfield, which is a very highly anticipated game. So if you buy a Radeon GPU or Ryzen CPU, you can get Starfield for free. Here's the list. It's pretty much everything. And you can get like the premium edition or standard edition, but all the way from like the Ryzen 9 7950X3D all the way down to like their APUs, even the if you get a laptop that has like a Ryzen 7 7840HS, pretty much their entire line of everything, all the way even back to like 6700 XT, 6700 cards. So
cool.
So yeah, we have a link if you want to pick it up. It's still on pre-order right now if you wanted to pick up Starfield. But yeah,
I need to check back into this game. I got excited about it for a little while and then just kind of stopped following it.
There was like a controversy because it is an AMD sponsored game that it has like FSR 2 upscaling, but there's not a single mention of DLSS. And it's like people were saying, and I haven't researched it enough. We didn't do a story on it, but they were saying because AMD sponsored the game, obviously like gave them money, that they're not putting like DLSS in the game, which is shady as hell. But I don't know if that's true, but that was like the big controversy over the game. But AMD is going full force into this. So like I said, if you buy a new AMD CPU, GPU, or system featuring the CPU or GPU, you get Starfield for free. So yeah. So very cool to see that. Another really cool thing. So Gamers Nexus put out a video. It was actually last week, but I did want to talk about it because I thought it was incredibly interesting. They went to AMD's Thermal Labs. I think that's in Texas. I forget where. And they have a whole video, which is in the article if you want to check it out. But the big thing that kind of came out of it is that for Ryzen 7000 series, AMD was toying with the idea of doing a vapor chamber design in the heatsink that's on the CPU. Typically it's just like a piece of metal, right? But they were working on this heat, this vapor chamber design here. And it's really cool to see and how they were kind of testing it and everything like that. And again, I think this is like one of the first times like somebody has gotten access like into their thermal lab. So it's a very cool video if you want to watch it. But they did say that the vapor chamber, it gave them like maybe 1 or 2 degrees better performance overall, which wasn't enough to really implement it into the Ryzen 7000 series.
Justify that cost.
Yeah, justify the extra cost of it. But it's cool to see. And again, these are things that we don't even know what's going on, right? We just see the finalized product. So it's really cool that Gamers Nexus did get access to that. So again, if you want to check out the video, it is in the article. You can go ahead and see the different things. And again, they talk about a lot more than just this specifically. So I would definitely check out the video. It's pretty long too. It's like 30-minute videos. It's very long. So definitely worth checking that out. New motherboards from ASRock. So they came out with their Tai Chi Lite boards. So Z790 Tai Chi Lite and B650E Tai Chi Lite. More or less, they have the exact same feature set, but they're just like the board design is toned down. So like typically with the Tai Chi boards, like especially like the bottom half of these boards right here would just be like all heatsink, right? The whole thing. Yep. Yep. Well, it's just toned down a little bit. Not as much RGB lighting on these either.
And maybe like some, you know, a fancier IO shield cooler.
Yeah.
Covering, right? That has actual gears and that design. Yeah, this is a lot more toned down. But I like the look of this a lot.
Yes, it's toned down, but I do like that they do keep, like, the actual feature set of the motherboard is still there. So if you're somebody who's, like, running this in not a window system, or you just like don't care about any of that stuff, these are going to save you money, which is cool. So here's the B650E. Again, this is very toned down, like as you can see. You know, it looks like one of those, I guess, one of those cheaper boards, you know, but
some bare bones cooling on there, but still a good board.
Yeah. So the feature set's still there. So if you were looking for, you know, to save some money on your motherboard, and again, especially on the AMD side, things have gotten more expensive. You know, you can pick up one of these boards if you were looking for one. So it's pretty cool to see there from ASRock. What else do we have here? This is a big story. This was last week as well, but I definitely wanted to cover it. We've seen them at CES. I've seen them for years. I think I actually had one for a while. It was a Gigabyte Bricks one, but Intel says that they're stopping investment into their NUC business. If you're not familiar with a NUC, that's their next unit of computing. It's like the very small mini PCs. They have gotten larger, especially as they've like kind of expanded them into the more gamer-esque type
of... Yeah, they used to be just these little, like you said, the cubes.
Yeah.
Real tiny.
Like I said, this makes sense because Intel's trying to get out of things that are not making them a lot of money. And they really want to just concentrate on chips, right? They sold off their server business. They've sold off some other things. And they've stated that they're not putting any more investment into this business, which means you're likely not going to see any new NUC devices from them, or maybe even spec from them, because what they do is they put out that NUC spec, and then Razer or Gigabyte or whoever,
they can take it on.
They take that spec and build their own little mini PC fashioned after it. So here's one of the bigger ones, and we've seen like the Razer version of this and some of the other ones, you know. So yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about it. And Intel is losing a lot of money. So again, this makes sense. And I do think that they really should focus CPUs, their GPU business, but more, you know, all the different types of CPU. Yeah, just not just specific PC CPU stuff, but mobile stuff and other things, which actually make them the most money. So kind of sad to see, because I really thought the NUCs were cool. Like, they were cool little devices.
Yeah. And a lot of times you could get a pretty powerful system in a very small form factor, right? If you didn't need the expansion options, and even some of them came with a little bit of options here and there, you know. But yeah, you could get some really powerful hardware in a small form factor.
But I did think like the development was super cool. And again, these are not products that are selling a lot, so I can see why Intel's kind of like cutting it. But especially like the latest generation of that. Remember they had like the blades. Like, you know, your CPU was on a blade, yes, and then your GPU was on a blade, and you put it into this sort, like you put it into the system that kind of looked like this, right? And you'd have blades in there that had every, like, that type of stuff is super cool to me. But again, that does, those things aren't selling, right? And then you know, you're not selling a ton of those. So it makes sense why they kind of axed it. But I did think like the advancement in the technology was super cool as it got into those type of things. So yeah, kind of sad to see, but so we'll see how that, like I said, they just said stopping investment, but it just more or less seems like they're getting out of that business. They haven't sold it off or anything like that, but they're getting out of the business. Now, talking about a really cool external kind of GPU thing, GPD G1 is this really cool system. And again, we've seen like external GPU enclosures where you actually have like the actual GPU in there, right? Well, they have this thing right here that's like, again, you can see it's not necessarily massive. It has a Radeon RX 7600 in it, mobile, and you connect it, I think, via Thunderbolt to your computer. And it's a much smaller package than like those, you know, those external GPU enclosures. It's much, much smaller. Something that technically you could put in a laptop bag per se.
You know what well, I mean? That looks like a really tiny laptop too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. These external, just throw it in your bag, like you said, take it with you, use it when you need it. You know, if you're someone that travels, take, you know, use your laptop normally during the day at work or whatever, then back at the hotel, toss this thing on there and do some gaming with a little better performance.
Yeah, do some gaming, or like maybe you need to like, oh, I'm taking this laptop to a meeting, but then I have like my 3D modeling stuff I need to finish while I'm here to give the presentation. This is going to allow me to do it faster. Or so I got to encode this video. This is going to help me do it faster type deal. So that's pretty cool. Like I said, that's the biggest thing. So I love the external GPU enclosures, but they're not practical if you really wanted to travel with them, right? They're like tiny. This thing is like something that can be thrown in a backpack or, you know, easily taken with you to travel. And like it's not really like any necessarily like moving parts either. With those GPU enclosures, you actually have a GPU in there, and traveling around, things can get unhooked or damaged easily. This is much smaller. So I thought it was pretty cool. Moving on from that, talking about gaming handhelds, we've seen a bunch come out lately and we've talked about them a lot. New EU law says that they have to have replaceable batteries by 2027.
I think that's great.
Yeah, and the EU did this with the iPhone as well, with the Lightning connector. It had to be Type C, or it had to now be
when
like
we say. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
When we say replaceable, that doesn't mean that it's like accessible by the user to just pop it off and swap it out, right? I think that means you have to be able to at least open it up and maybe disconnect a cable inside to remove the battery and put a different one in there. The battery's not hard soldered onto a
piece. Yeah, and you're not voiding your warranty by doing it.
Right, right.
You know, which, again, I'm a fan of this, especially, again, with all of these gaming handhelds. And this is not just like the PC ones. This would be like your Switch is going to have one as well.
I think it makes sense, because a lot of times, you know, at work we'll have a laptop that still is capable of performing its duties just fine, but you get like a battery that swells up, right? Because it's been on the charger all its life and things like that. So you pop the bottom off and thankfully you can replace that battery, stick a new unswollen one in there, and you're good to go, right? But if that battery's soldered on to the motherboard or connected in a way that it's not replaceable, now this device that was perfectly capable of continuing to perform is no longer viable because of that bad battery. So
so it's good to see that 2027. And again, typically when this happens, the companies typically don't make like a, because the EU is a big area, they're not just going to make like an EU version and a USA version or whatever. You know, I think with Apple, they're moving from the Lightning cable to a Type C eventually as well. So good to see that. Now, we had some acquisitions this week. First one is Corsair. They're going to acquire Drop. We work with both Corsair and Drop, and Drop's mainly like keyboards, and they do some collabs and things like that. So Pretty interesting to see that one. It makes sense for Corsair, especially because I feel like Corsair did try to do those custom keycaps and
keyboards. They had like the blue and a pink one and a green one, I think.
They just weren't
a year or two ago. Yep.
They weren't like cool. I don't know. It just wasn't something that I would, you know, but with Drop has really edged themselves into that custom keyboard space. From what they say, it's going to operate independently, you know? So maybe they'll like do some type of collab as well where you can get, you know, Drop will make certain keycaps or certain things, and maybe you'll see.
It might open a Drop's line up to getting better pricing on switches and components, right? Via Corsair's contacts and relationships with companies. And this was not necessarily a surprise to me, but I was a little worried that like Drop products weren't going to be available anymore. So I went out and I bought one of their mouse mats that I had seen at CES this last year that I really liked. And I'd kept looking at it every now and then. And I was like, oh, I'll buy it later. And then I was like, oh shoot, like they're going to take all their products down and I'm not going to be able to get it. So supposedly it's here in town and was on its way as of 6:30 tonight. So maybe I'll even get it tonight. I don't know.
Nice. Very cool. The second one, which again, this just makes sense for them as well, is that Logitech has acquired Loop Deck. There's a really cool, it's sort of like what is that called? What do you have, a Stream Deck? Is that what you have? Stream Deck. Yeah. It's kind of like that, but it has knobs on it as well. It's very popular. It wasn't necessarily made for streaming per se, more like design work and things like that. But Logitech, they're kind of, again, Corsair bought Elgato and they have, and that's kind of like the universal one that everybody used. But Loop Deck was different in a sense. And they got pretty popular. I was actually looking at picking one up at one point. Logitech picked them up. So it seems like if you like just start a gaming company, get some traction, and one of these big companies, one of these companies is gonna, you know, pick you up. So, cool to see all these, like I said, smaller companies. Not cool, but like it's good for them. Like, you know what I mean? They put out a good product, and this is for a lot of startup people, and it's their out. You know, that's eventually what you want at the end of the day, is to be bought out by a larger company. So pretty cool. And then finally, last thing, Overwatch 2 is actually going to be available on Steam. So August 10th, Blizzard is putting Overwatch 2 on Steam, which Shinny in the chat, he knows, and I know, and Ryan doesn't know because he doesn't put Apex on Steam. But Steam just makes everything better when it comes to games. We talked about this especially when all the launchers started coming out. You know, you have 16 different launchers for all the different games. Putting everything on Steam just makes sense. Because again, Overwatch is Battle.net. You have to install Battle.net. And not that I don't think Battle.net has like crazy issues like EA or Origin before that, you know, had. But it's good to see, like I said, it just makes more sense and it's easier for people who have Steam. And Blizzard did hint that they could be adding more IPs over to Steam as well. So yeah, it just makes sense. Very cool.
That's cool.
Talking about what we have coming up next week. No podcast next week. Like I said, my sister's coming to town, so I would be showing her around San Diego, which would be a lot of fun. We should have at least one video that I'm working on now come up next week, and maybe some other stuff. Obviously, I'll still be doing news and everything like that, so definitely stay tuned, but no podcast. Sorry, guys. We took a week off and then had a podcast this week, and then we're skipping next week. But we might have some other stuff. I'm working on, like, 5 different reviews right now, so we have a lot of stuff going on. Are you going to do a gaming stream next week or no?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I don't see why not.
All right, well, make sure. I won't be partaking in that probably. So
I'll let you know.
Yeah, but launch, and I sent you a message about this. I don't think you ever replied to me, actually, when I sent you this.
Maybe I missed it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I sent you this on Messenger, but Sony came out with a new camera.
No, you told me about it. Yeah, you were thinking about getting it.
Yeah, so this the new Sony Alpha or A6700. It's essentially the new version of my camera. This is an A6300.
Yeah, I think I didn't respond, but I did see it.
Yeah. APS-C, it's like everything that I want that's not in this camera. But I don't know if I'm going to get it yet. And it's nice that I have all the lenses, so I just have to buy the base kit, you know. But yeah, it'd be a nice little upgrade, especially for some, you know, there's little quirks with this camera, especially for like shooting videos for thin computers and in here in the studio. Like this thing overheats sometimes if I'm shooting long B-roll. Sometimes it doesn't. This has the new autofocus that like this camera has, you know, the quick snap, nice. Which this does not have. It has a pop-out screen, so this one doesn't have this screen back here. It just goes like this. It doesn't articulate around, so it has a lot of cool stuff. So we'll see. I might get it. Maybe I'll wait till holiday. Maybe it'll go on go on sale. Probably not. Maybe. But yeah, that was my cool tech thing. I don't know if you did anything tech related this past
not tech
week.
Related, but I'm pretty excited. You guys always make fun of me for my snack of choice when gaming. Oh, what is my what's my snack of choice usually?
Oreos.
When I was eating
Oreos.
Dude, check these out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so Super Mario Oreos, and I found out about them on Instagram because somebody was saying,
are they like flavored different?
No, they're not, but these things were selling for like $30 a pack on eBay at one point. Because apparently in every one of them, there's a single, like the cookies on them have like Mario and Luigi.
Well, oh, bust it open. Let's see what they got here. Are you saving
it? Do you not see that it says collect? And
you're going to save those for years. So
I've got two packs of them. So I'm going to open one up.
Open that pack up. I want to see what they look like.
All right. Let me see which bag looks better. But I don't think they're really rare by any means. But there's like one cookie that has Bowser on it. Oh, these don't open like normal Oreos, it looks like. So there's one inside of here that has a Bowser cookie. And so like the Bowser cookie is rare. And it was just crazy that people.
That is pretty cool. I like Oreo has done some really cool collabs.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Never thought I would see someone collecting Oreos. Well, now you have.
Well, yeah, they're going to eventually go bad. Like, it's not like something, you know.
I got to eat them up.
Let's say, like, in 10 years, you can open it again and you can eat the Oreo.
All right, so here's, like, a Koopa one.
Wait. Oh, cool. All
right.
But, like, they're just, like, still normal, like though, like, in the center.
Yes.
Oh, very cool.
And are they double stuff?
Did you buy these?
They almost look like they're double stuff.
Did you buy these on eBay?
No, my wife was going to Target like later in the morning, and I was like, hey, when you're there, like, will you see if they've got some Oreo, like these Mario Brothers Oreos? And she was like, yeah, okay. And then apparently they had like two displays of them in there, and so they were plentiful. So I don't think there's any sort of. That's a Goomba, you Koopa.
We were talking about it in the chat, and Shinny reached out to me during we did because we didn't have a podcast last week. Prime Day. I know Shinny bought a 2 terabyte Crucial NVMe drive, which is a great upgrade for him. Did you get anything on Prime Day? And then also in the chat, Old Man bought a Hori Edge 201 mechanical keyboard. It's only $20. Well, that's pretty good for a mechanical keyboard. But did you buy anything on Prime Day?
I didn't. Like, I almost impulse bought a TV that I saw, and I maybe should have. I don't know.
What kind of TV?
I should have looked. I don't even remember. It was like a Pioneer or something. Okay. But it was like $150 for a 55-inch
or
something.
That's so
crazy. 4K. Yeah. Like, but I really, one of my neighbors, we were over at her house this weekend for her daughter's birthday, and she has one of the Samsung Frame TVs.
You were looking at them at CES when you were walking.
They're so cool. So I really would like to get one of those at some point.
Yeah, those are very cool. I bought a bunch of supplements because everything was actually discounted. And since the thing that shut down the world, which I guess you can say it on the podcast now, but protein powder like skyrocketed in price after all that. So I bought a ton of protein powder. I brought other supplements. I did buy a vacuum cleaner. like a handheld one. I think that's all I bought.
No, I didn't buy anything for Prime. Yeah.
But yeah, I did. I was like, oh, like, you know, because like, it seems like this Prime, like, it just seemed like this Prime Day was going to be like a super big Prime Day. And it
wasn't.
I think
it snuck up on me.
I still think that companies, and I guess to some degree they do, companies will try to discount something and say it's 75% off, but when reality it's 10% off. You know, like every time I was like looking at a product, I went to like the website that has like the tracking of like the last 100 days, and you can see that like some of the stuff, like it's not really a sale.
Things.
Yeah.
And I'm a dummy. If I would have looked at this closer, they do open like current Oreos. They have the little lift thing here. So I opened this in. So now it means I got to eat these quicker than I normally would. Even though you say I eat them.
Ryan eats
like a whole pack a night.
But yeah,
Shinny said I opened them and already started eating them. Yes, I did. And they taste like a normal Oreo.
Yeah. How many have you eaten right now? At least like four.
One. I ate one.
No, you ate more than that. That's a lie.
I ate one.
But yeah, guys, talking about that, since that's Ryan's gaming fuel, we will be jumping over to Twitch, twitch.tv. Oh, that's one thing I wanted to ask you while we are here on the podcast. I know we're already like longer than we normally go. Did you sign up for Threads?
Yeah, dog.
Okay, you're on Threads. So I meant to
ask you the other day. I was like, you on Threads yet?
Yeah.
I told you about it.
Yeah. No, I knew about it. Mm-hmm. Threads. I don't know. I wish it had like they just need to add more functionality. But if you're, that's like the new Twitter killer thing from Meta. Or Facebook. I thought it's not functional enough to actually use, and I do feel like the feed is just not people that I know who they are or like who I'm into. Their algorithm needs to be better.
Yep, I was getting too many like. This other person follows him and they maybe responded. It was just,
yeah, it was, too it cluttered. Wasn't, yeah, it was very, very cluttered. But yeah, if you guys are not like, I would say follow us on Twitter, cause I feel it's a much better platform. But, if you're not on Twitter and you have Threads, we're all the computers were on there. If you want to follow us, I do post. It is annoying because everything else I can do on my computer, like as we're releasing content,
yeah,
and I can schedule it and I can do that. So there's no scheduling. And I have to like do it on my phone. There's no desktop app. So, but we do put stuff out on there if you want to follow us on Threads. But anyways, we're going to get into gaming because this has been, I don't know if this is the longest podcast, but this is.
It's been a long one. I talked a lot on my.
Yeah, AIO. You did. Yeah, you did.
I went.
We're going to blame it on Ryan, just like we do everything.
Are we on Zynga or MySpace?
Yeah. So, all right. So I guess Shinny's going to play with us since he is here as well. So that'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. So we're going to head on
over there. We played against Taltosh last week, remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
We got into a match against him. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So
stream sniping us.
I know. So yeah, guys, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Appreciate everybody for coming out. Like I said, no podcast next week. We will check out our socials. We'll let you know if Ryan's going to be streaming gaming next week. But until... I guess it'll be August, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Until August, we'll catch you guys later.